cliffcentral.com.
Coming to you live the morning. Here we are. Hello, everybody. My name is Michael Caine, and I am a nosy neighbor. You didn't know that?
Michael Caine, you say?
Michael Caine.
Oh, Michael Caine. My
name.
Sorry.
My name. Sorry, I didn't do it in the right accent, you know? Let me try that again. My name is Michael Caine, and I am your neighbor.
Oh, okay. We weren't expecting you.
You never expect me, I just pitch up.
Oh, okay.
I pitch up, mind! All right, everybody, good morning. What's happening? What's everybody up to? Can you believe this president of ours? What is wrong with this guy?
Okay, slow your roll. Start from all the beginning.
Okay. Now, you know the president's got this thing about state capture. His whole point now, his whole purpose now, he realizes that the power is starting to slip away from him. So he's on a massive greed binge. And he's trying to get as much money out of the system as he can so he can pull an Idi Amin on us and flee to some Arab country eventually. Mark these words, because this is what's going to happen, all right?
What's going to happen?
The president is going to take every cent he can. He's already moving it all offshore. I'm not sure how. I don't know the detail here, but this is what I suspect is happening. This guy is busy raping the state-owned enterprises, as we speak, of every last cent of cash that he can. He's enriching his family as far as he possibly can, because he knows they're also on the teat, and that's not going to last for very long. He's got these criminal friends called the Guptas. And I say criminal only because we've heard of ways and means that they've obtained contracts from government, that they have ministers in their pocket, that this is no way for a country to be run where there's a family with this much influence. And I'm talking about the Guptas. So much influence on how the state is managed. They've already mostly fled the country from what I can gather, and they live offshore, but they still send instructions to the president at the union buildings, and he enacts those instructions. That's what pretty much is common knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I reckon what he's doing is he sees after these elections he's between a rock and a hard place. There's a lot of pressure on him from within the ANC, so he's going to take what he can now and make a massive final gamble. And target number one is the Treasury.
Right.
Because that's where the cash is. That's the big bank he's trying to rob. And remember, the Treasury will determine how things like SAA and Transnet and Eskom and the SABC and all those state-owned enterprises are run. So the Minister of Finance is his big obstacle, his stumbling block. And the Minister of Finance is a guy called Pravin Gordhan, who was brought back after this idiot president fired the previous finance minister, that was Nhlanhla Nene, who was trying to do a good job and had the temerity to tell the president, you can't put your girlfriend in charge of SAA. So the president fired him. Put a guy called Des Van Rooyen in charge. So anyway, Des lasted a day or two. But Des is a Gupta man. And we know this because he's visited the Guptas already in Dubai or wherever they are.
He had this bizarre one-day holiday with no stopover.
Right, and then he was a one-day minister as well in the finance portfolio. Anyway, I reckon the president's on a hiding to nothing. He knows that he's got very little time left to take what he can and get out. And he's now making hay while the sun shines. So he's threatening the foreign minister through burning in Tlemaza at the Hawks. He's saying to him, we're going to arrest you for setting up a rogue unit at SARS all those years ago. And poor old Pravin is going to need us. Pravin's going to need us to back him. And this president of ours has got to face the music now. He's got to go to jail for all those charges of fraud and corruption. There are over 700 of them.
I think it was last week or earlier this week even when Julius Malema said that they're waiting for the president to step out of his role as president, and then they're going to go after him again.
I've got to find you a clip of Julius in Parliament yesterday. The president wasn't in Parliament yesterday because he's busy, busy pilfering wherever he can at the moment.
The rand is up to 13.93.
Yeah, and it was doing so well. We were hovering around 13.40, 13.50, and it's gone up by half a rand already. You can't make this stuff up. Let me just play this clip of Julius yesterday. I love this, by the way. We'll get into news in a second. But this is just magic. This is from Times Live. Let me credit them quickly. Times Live.
Zuma wants to enrich his family and himself. He will never get our vote. We are here today to say to you, take your ministers who are Instagram celebrities to go and vote for you.
You know who he means?
I've got a feeling.
It's Fikile and Malusi, right?
Okay.
It's a very interesting article written about those two just the other day, that the two of them are celebrities. They are not ministers. They don't give a shit about doing the job of being ministers. They give a shit about their own personal brand, and they're out there getting celebrity, getting some shine.
Instagram celebrities to go and vote for you and campaign for you to get the votes. Don't blame it on the EFF. It is of your own making. You've got yourself to blame. I did not take the votes away from you. You are self-destructing and you will have yourself to blame. Where is free education? We gave you 6% to take the land. You refused it. Now those who want to sound more black consciousness, they say to us, you can't disrupt the ANC and vote for the DA or the opposition. When we voted against the ANC, we were not disrupting the land question. When we were voting against the ANC, we were not disrupting any black agenda. So you can jump into the nearest hell.
Don't you love that? And you can hear how furious he is as well. Jump into the nearest hell.
But he can't be faulted, her. He speaks sense, that man.
Like, I love him. I sent him a message last night. I was so fired up by what he said here. I said, what you do in Parliament, I said, it makes me proud to be alive in this time and this place.
You know, I recently wrote an article on the evolution, if you will, of Julius Malema. Because do you remember once upon a time, there was a time when some people thought that Julius was stupid. And they made fun.
I still bump into people. So look, it's older white people who say to me, you know, that Julius he's very stupid. And I say to them, look, you don't get to where he's got. You don't start a party. And within two elections, you have power to decide who's king in municipalities like Joburg and Pretoria.
Yeah.
And PE. This is no small achievement.
All the analysts that I spoke to, the common word that they used with Julius was politically astute.
Mm-hmm.
And Max Dupriya said that he has the best natural instincts to politics that he has ever seen in his whole life. the guy is not an idiot.
Not at all. Not at all. So there he is. There's Julius busy handing out, just giving a smackdown to the president and his cronies in Parliament. All right, let's get into some news since we're talking about it. By the way, don't forget, just a couple of days to go until we launch touchcentral.fm.
Whoop, whoop.
You can listen right here for everything you already love about this show, plus a little bit of sexy music and a couple of new things that we're going to throw in there too to just spice things up a bit. You know, we're 2.5 years old in cliffcentral.com. It's time for us to take it up a level. But in the meantime, here's Mabale Maloy.
Little known secret, that was actually me playing there.
Yes,
it was just before I suffered an asthma attack.
That's right.
You can hear the lungs are giving out on
right,
me.
Right, towards the end, yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned it, Gareth. The finance minister has been asked to report to the Hawks later this week. In the meantime, he says that he is seeking legal advice on this latest development and has got nothing to say at the moment. Earlier this year, of course, Bernie Ntlemeza sent the finance minister a list of 27 questions that he had to answer after being accused of establishing an illegal covert unit. The finance minister is also expected to appear alongside Ivan Pillay and Johan van Lochrenberg, who have all asked to provide warning statements to detectives. So we wait to see how the finance minister reacts to this. I mean, I heard you say that we need to do something to protect the finance minister. I just don't know what we can do.
No, we got to pull the Premier League out of their cars and haul them off to the gallows like a revolutionary mob. I mean, obviously I'm kidding there, but these people need to be removed from power. I mean, Tom Eaton says on Twitter, and I often agree with what he says, removing Gordon makes sense.
For the president?
Yeah. Election losses means the Premier League knows their days are numbered, so make a lunge for the Treasury PIN code while you can. This is a last gasp by desperate, greedy people.
Now, here's something that I found interesting. Gwede Mantashe was briefing the media at Luthuli House yesterday. Have a listen to some of the things that he had to say. He said, He says the idea of leadership resigning because of poor results is not a far-fetched idea, and international trends reflect this. He made example by way of the United Kingdom, right?
David Cameron.
Yeah, where he said, look at the Labour Party in Britain. Every time it has a leader who leads them to elections that does badly, the leader is changed. He says that some structures of the ANC have already started discussing the possibility of an early elective conference. But I'm not holding my breath here because you'll remember Justice Malala says that the president is not going anywhere. And come 2019, we're all going to owe Justice a lot of money because of this bet. But Mantashe says that there needs to be unity in the party first before deciding on an early elective conference. The General Secretary also says that the party has taken into account concerns raised by the electorate, including the issue of Nkandla. He said, among the issue in our analysis we had was a negative narrative, which was considered toward the president of the ANC. That included a number of issues that were raised. So Mantashe, what is he saying here? Is he trying to voice his own personal opinions? But even though he does, we know that nothing will come of it because of this whole collective narrative that the ANC have adopted, where they're all going to stick by this one man, and that's just the way it is. I mean, why is he talking to us about, you know, the idea of resignation not being the worst thing in the world?
Well, because the ANC is being torn apart on the inside. This is like when you see a family where dad is having an affair with some other woman and mom is desperately trying to keep it tidy. She's trying to make it look like dad isn't having an affair. And it's so sad to see. You know, this is a great organization that has just lost every single bit of moral fiber and credibility that they ever had. Who would have guessed that the great ANC would come to this? And it's being cleft in twain, according to the Bible's language. Torn in two. By these greedy parties of self-enrichment and corruption on the one hand, and you know who I'm talking about. And on the other hand, people who are desperately trying to cobble together some sense of common direction. I mean, Gwede's sitting there talking about party unity. No one in that party cares about unity at the moment. Every single member of the ANC right now is looking to how the hell do we save ourselves? They're not interested in the party. They're interested in how do I get out without having to A, go to jail, or B, having to pay back any money. Because it's pure greed that has set in across the board. There are a bunch of vultures, hyenas, and jackals.
In that order.
Yeah, the lions of the ANC are dead. And the few that are left are so old, like Ahmed Kathrada, that there's just no space for them in the pride anymore. The pride is now a makeshift assembly of hyenas, jackals, and vultures. And all the great animals have left this pride. They are out of it. It's no longer a pride. It's now just a
disgrace.
Yeah, it's a rough-hewn, cobbled-together, sad, migrating herd of losers who are all fat from eating the land into dust and are just going to move on to the next piece of land to rip it to pieces as well.
I think it was Ranjini who said on Twitter the other day, and I'm paraphrasing here, but she was saying that it's actually sad what has happened to this over 100-year-old organization, and it's all because of one administration. One administration did this much damage to the ANC.
Look at where they were under Thabo Mbeki. I mean, someone sent me a picture just this morning, actually, on Twitter. Of, you want to see two different commanders in chief? You got a picture of Thabo Mbeki sitting at his desk at the computer with books all over the shelves behind him. But books on the table, books on the shelves. He was reading. And if there's one thing you know for sure, Thabo Mbeki was not an idiot and he was always reading. He may have read a whole lot of hocus pocus when it came to AIDS, when it came to Zimbabwe. But other than that, the man was firmly tied into reality. He could read for a start. Okay? We got the guy now, they showed the shelf behind him. There are about three books that are there for decoration on the shelf behind him. The rest of the shelf's empty. And he's sitting there looking, staring blankly into the space in front of him. Which is precisely why people like the Guptas have been able to make him their puppet. It's precisely why members of the Premier League are making him their stooge. It's exactly why so many greedy people in the ladders and the rungs and the networks of power owe everything to him just because he gave them a job, because he knew he could control them like he was being controlled. This is what we sit with. And now he threatens the currency, the stability of our economy, and the finance minister, the one guy who's trying to keep it tidy, because he's like a caged animal and he's fighting now for survival. And he will tear us all down if he can. Don't be under any illusion. This guy has himself as his priority. And if he needs to kill us all to survive, he'll do it.
Whew, okay. Let me move away from the politics for a second, because...
Please, I was about to explode.
I know, it gets you worked up, you know?
Yeah.
And it's stressful and frustrating.
Yeah.
All right. Let me quickly tell you about what happened earlier this week. Coca-Cola Beverages Africa, the bottling joint venture between the U.S. soft drink maker and brewer SAB Miller,
yes,
they announced earlier this week that they may be closing South African plants and see profit more than half if the government pushes ahead with the proposed sugar tax. Now, there seems to be some resistance against the Treasury's recommendation that, you know, South Africa get a 20% tax on all, you know, sweetened beverages and I suppose some processed food.
Mm-hmm.
The Beverage Association of South Africa, this is now BEVSA, they said yesterday that they believe that implementing a sugar tax on soft drinks is the wrong move to try and reduce obesity, because they say that beverages aren't the cause of increasing weight gain. I don't know. I think that there is some truth to this, because we saw it with the sin tax, right? Just because you were being taxed for your alcohol and cigarettes didn't suddenly get people giving up drinking or stopping smoking.
No, people are drinking just as much.
Drinking and smoking just as much. And so, you know, people will carry on drinking soft drinks just as much. So I do agree with them on this, that a sugar tax isn't necessarily going to curb obesity rates. But we know that, you know, for them, it's all about business and profits. And that's exactly what they're worried about. And this is why they're being so resistant to the sugar tax. So Coke SA was saying, you know, oh, you know, jobs are under threat because of this proposed sugar tax. And Treasury said, everybody calm down. You're over-exaggerating. You know, this doesn't have to be the case. BEVSA have called on government to consider a collaborative effort, rather, to tackle mm-hmm. obesity and diabetes, rather than introducing its proposed 20% tax. So, I mean, the question is, are you going to carry on buying your fizzy drinks, right?
You know, I drink Coke Zero, which contains no sugar anyway, so I could care less. But what do you feel about this, Ben? You're usually quite sage about these things.
Yeah.
Should we put a tax on sugar?
Well, there's two things to it, right? Firstly, yes, because sugar is one of the worst drugs in the world. But secondly, when you think about jobs and you think about bottom lines and companies and investments and that kind of stuff, is it going to make a big difference? Mm-hmm. Are we not going to be cutting our fat noses off to spite a fat face?
Hmm. Well, BEVSA said that this sugar tax could fine South Africa's gross domestic product reducing by 14 billion rand.
Exactly.
So I don't know how they get to these numbers and how they work these calculations.
No, well, they're also going to make those numbers look as big as possible, yes, so that they sure. don't have to hit their bottom line.
Yeah.
A part of me says, actually, a sugar tax would be a good idea, because if you make sugar too expensive for fat people, then they'll stop eating. But I don't know whether that's...
No, they won't. Thing, like, And the example of the cigarettes and the booze is a great example. People will find a way, because people comfort eat, right?
What is a 2 liter Coke cost now?
No idea.
Oh, I have no idea.
Give me a rough guess there, Peshitta. Do you know how much a 2 liter Coke costs?
I'm thinking of like 19 rand or something.
All right, and then what would obviously something like what's healthy? What's a healthy alternative?
Just
to
water.
That?
Water. Everything else is revolving. Just as much sugar.
Okay. Well, I mean, water is obviously cheaper than that. I'm just trying to figure out.
Not a lot more.
And, you know, this isn't just soft drinks. As far as I understand it, it's going to be everything with added sugar in it. So your concentrated drinks, you know, things. Those kinds of concentrated drinks, you know. I as far as I understand it, this tax is going to affect all of that stuff.
And who's it going to affect the most? Poor people.
Yeah.
Poor people who have no money anyway.
Yeah.
They get a little bit of joy.
Yeah, I don't see rich people buying a 2 liter Coke at the garage shop. You know,
spending 2 rand extra for that 2 liter
Coke.
Yes,
rich fat people are going to carry on buying these sugary drinks.
Fat people will just also carry on drinking them, except it'll cost them more and they'll have less to take home to their kids.
Yeah.
And then people will say, oh yeah, but then diabetes and then all that money will then decrease. But that's a loose argument.
Well, no censorship ever says, I am a type 1 diabetic, do I get a sugar tax rebate? I wonder if diabetic people should get a rebate on this. Look, I'm against any taxes.
Yeah.
I'm against any fake bullshit schemes by government to get extra money out of people.
That's what it comes down to. It's this constant want from government. They invent these taxes because their only mindset is take, take, take.
Well, Dr. Jonathan Witt says this morning, the majority of foods eaten by the poor are high in sugar. A sugar tax will hurt them the most. Mm. Also, you want to give the government more of your money? Don't they take enough and give you nothing back? Literal definition of insanity. Yeah, look, I'm on your side, Dr. Witt. I don't like any taxes. I specifically don't like taxes on things that I'm already deciding to put into my body, which I can or cannot buy. The fact is that government are just trying to scheme new ways of getting cash out of us. And this is just another creative attempt to increase the already high tax burden on very poor and middle-class South Africans. Don't think that this is going to affect rich people. It won't. Very rich people don't give a shit about the price of anything.
Well, they don't have to.
And they have whole teams of accountants who find ways to cut their taxes. The only people who get screwed by this are ordinary people like us and people who are poor. So there we go. No need to discuss that anymore. And then a message from Chris who says, hey, G, Flax is tweeting that he survived a massive earthquake and he's screaming like Sia. Yeah, that's right. Flax, he did send us a message. Where's my phone? He sent us this message just now to say that he's okay. Sure. Let me just read this to you. Apparently, there's a 6.2 on the Richter scale earthquake in Italy last night and he survived. He said he's fine. So no need to worry about Flax's health. I don't know whether we can try and get hold of him or not. Maybe, Peshitta, if you can give it a try. I don't know whether his phone's on roaming or whether we can call him. Maybe try Skype. I'm not sure. But if we can get hold of... What's that?
I will try to get a hold of him.
Thanks, Peshitta.
Yeah, there's Gareth 2 dead. Sorry, 6 dead in central Italy.
Wow. So I'm very glad Flax is okay. That's pretty terrifying. Oh. Wow, indeed. All right. Natural disaster zone. Ole Bocheng has sent me some pictures of Madiba and Jay-Z and Mbeki. And Thabo Mbeki's whispering into Madiba's ear while he's holding Jacob Zuma's hand on the other side. Thabo Mbeki's saying, when you don't have matric, but try to chill with the guys from varsity.
Okay.
That's a pretty funny picture. And then pictures of Lindiwe Sisulu kissing Blade and sitting next to Khalema and then dancing with Jay-Z. And she looks so unhappy in all the pictures. So Lebocheng's on a joking tip this morning. Omo says a sugar tax is stupid. They're only taxing soft drinks when fruit juice has far more sugar in it. Fruit juices won't be taxed. It's the middle class moralizing about how the poor need to eat.
Yeah.
That's also true. It's like people talking down to other people. You know how people say, for example, oh, you know, these carbohydrates and everything that fat poor people eat, they should be eating healthier food. Like they should have kale and cabbage and
more
fruit and veg. But fruit and veg is so expensive at Woolworths. How will the poor be able to afford it? The poor aren't shopping at Woolworths, you moron.
No, they're working there.
That's right. Thank you. Spot on. Time for us to check in on some sport. Let's get into it. Ben, what do you have for us this morning?
Well, Gareth, there was a celebratory moment yesterday as all the winners of Team SA got to OR Tambo Airport.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out and there were people just cheering and shouting. And it rightly so. It was a great moment.
Were they wearing those lovely tracksuits?
They were, yeah.
Okay. Ugh.
Yeah. Imagine having to travel in those.
Surprised people didn't throw those away.
Yeah, I would have torn it off.
Like, leave it in Rio. Let the people in the favelas have them, because the whole family could make a tent out of it if they don't have a house.
I would have walked out of that arrival door and torn it off like a stripper. The only thing that you should do with that tracksuit.
Right.
But of course, Gareth, what happens next? Well, a certain member of parliament makes it all about himself. Now, I, over the weekend, took quite a lot of flack because people say I've got an agenda against this guy. You know what? I don't have an agenda against this guy. I can just see through bullshit. Now, Gareth already pointed out this morning that his job is to become a celebrity. He doesn't give a toss about ministerial things, right?
No.
So, yesterday, and if you just press play on this clip, Gareth, just kind of proves
my point. I know, President Sam, you said you give people 500,000 and all of that, it was agreed. But today when I wake up, I was so happy. I'm deciding to increase. For Wade Funny Care, for breaking the world record, 150,000.
Now, this is interesting. First of all, this is not his money. It's not like he's giving this out of his personal bank account.
No.
Which I can almost guarantee is flat, if not in the red. Despite how much you put in, it just all gets spent. But he's spending our money, which is cool. I have no problem with Wade getting an extra 150,000. In fact, I don't think anyone in the country does. But for this guy to be grandstanding and taking the credit is offensive in the extreme. And also, for him to make this about him, to try and appeal to people at their most basic, when you've done nothing to look after these athletes. Did you ever hear Fikile mention Wade van Niekerk before the Olympics? I defy you to find me a recording of him even mentioning the name Wade van Niekerk before these Olympics. No?
No, Gareth.
Didn't think so.
No.
Here he is, giving him an extra 150. Look what largesse, what grandeur this man brings with him. Our man-child, Minister of Sport. Let's just carry on listening to this. I don't even know what to make of this guy.
I know.
That's just the...
But today when I wake up, I was so happy. I'm deciding to increase.
So when he wakes up, he makes decisions on the snap.
On top of the 500,000 for Wade van Niekerk, for breaking the world record, 150,000.
So there we go.
Okay, so this is how social media works, right? You wait for moments where everybody's eyes are on something, and then you say things that are quite sensational, and the mob can get behind it, everyone likes it, and everyone's cool about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how social media works if you want to be popular and you want to be trending. Mm-hmm. But this is how this guy's life works. He doesn't do the day-to-day things. He waits until there's attention on every single thing, and he maximizes his time. So people who do support him, of which there are some, mind-boggling there are some, people might say, oh, but you're being a cynical prick and you got an agenda. But no, this guy is a prime example of how he's just distorting everything for his own good. That Mr. Father Christmas razzmatazz bullshit, it's not your money, dickhead. I mean, and then the press, Gareth, being the press, they ask a question, well, where's all this extra money coming from suddenly? Because, let's be honest, there's been people who are asking for funding every single day until they're blue in the face, and then they quit sport and they probably turn to crime.
Yes.
He goes, well, this isn't a time
like
where...
boxing in the townships.
Yeah, he says, no, you shouldn't be asking questions like this. This isn't a time for questioning everything. You know, people, he says, for once, people in the media should support good things, not question everything.
And by the way, Sunet Fulyun was saying on Twitter the other day, now what happens is all these promises of money are made and nobody ever gets paid, right?
Yeah, I'm getting to that in a second. So he was just making everything about himself, and the moment he was questioned once, it was like, no, we can't question any of this. But the problem is, okay, so Sunet Fulyun, who won silver, okay, she wasn't there, she's participating in Europe. So she then saw all of this, okay, and she's like, it's so great to be South African, I wish I was there, all this celebration support, that's really great, but money's been promised to us before, and people start begging. She said it'd be really cool if the money actually comes to us this time around. Mm. So here we got someone. So this guy is now, he's got a captive audience at the airport, right, and everyone's cheering and halala, oh, it's amazing. But then she's just going, well, we'll see about that, won't we? Money again promised to medalist, hope to see it within next year. And then Gideon Sam, okay, cut from the same cloth as Fikile. He said, SASCOC president says, he promised 10 medals, he delivered 10 medals. What the hell did he deliver? He delivered shit.
Yeah, he wasn't the one on the tracks, the one sweating it out in Rio.
And again, Sunet Fulyun tweeted this, he delivered, what did he deliver? If only the truth was known. She then went on to say, and again, this is someone who's done the hard blood, sweat, and tears, right? She said, if there's one organization that needs urgent investigation, it is SASCOC. Start with the $70 million rand donated by the lottery 2 weeks prior to Rio. So Fikile also went on and said, you know, our athletes get peanuts. They should all be getting $1 million each. There's a second clip there about what he thinks athletes should be driving as well.
Inviting corporate South Africa to shower these athletes with more money and give them more sponsorship. Government cannot do it alone. And don't support this one and leave out others. Support them and give them hope. I want Caster Semenya to drive a Lamborghini. It's a pity I don't have money to buy you, Caster, but I will make a plan.
He then said, oh, athletes can't be driving Toyota Yaris's. Now, is this guy, I know he's a joke, I know he's a complete and utter clown, but he is so removed from what life is, right? He just thinks that, oh, money, 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 money. Yes, private SA must get involved. You know, we've seen great things with athletes where private corporations have gone, right, we're going to sponsor you, we're going to bring you
out. Isn't it fair to say that corporate South Africa have been the lifeblood of our sport? If corporate money didn't get thrown into sport, there wouldn't be sport, full stop.
Exactly, but he's asking for more. Jacob Zuma did a similar thing a couple months back. He said, politics is very expensive. We need more money. It's because they have no balance sheets savvy, these ANC people.
Not these ANC people, particularly this minister and the president he serves. These are people who've never had to go out and earn a cent. I read some horrific things last night. Ridi Tlabi tweeted about how the president, during his time in exile, when Jacob Zuma was the head of intelligence in MK, he told a friend of his he needs to borrow some money. He cleaned the guy out and never paid him back a cent. This guy died in poverty a couple of years ago. One of his friends. He cleaned him out, took every cent from him, never paid him back, and the guy died a pauper. There are two examples of this. I wish I had their names in front of me now, but you could look it up.
So Fikile's playing from the same hymn sheet, right? It's just take, 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 give, 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 so it makes you look like Gresmata's Father Christmas, right? But he doesn't understand, like, okay, so Caster Semenya, you must have a Lamborghini. What a lovely gesture. Caster's an absolute champion. She's done as proud, all this kind of stuff. But all this crap about Lamborghini, whatever happens to just being successful, getting gold, being an athlete? All this other sideshow crap. This is his life. He's projecting on everyone for popularity. Mm. And it's so depressing to see, because if you're young and impressionable, you're watching this kind of stuff, right? He's talking about a bunch of winners, stay off drugs, you win everything. Like, I don't drive a Toyota Yaris, would be kind of cool. Lots of people out there wouldn't mind driving a Toyota Yaris. This guy is so distorted and he's such a piece of shit. And it's just getting worse and worse because he grandstands everything. So if you ever wonder why people do doubt Fikile Mbalula, it's just so frustrating how warped he is and how he just turns us about money. It's that whole lover of shiny things. Look at the SA Sports Awards. It's not about the people. It's about just getting all the attention and the fame from these few handful of people. But when it comes down to it, tomorrow, there's still kids in all kinds of areas in this country who can't even play sport because there isn't even a field for them to play on.
Mm. Well, Mandela says this dickhead isn't talking about a plan or
there's no
sport.
Plan, yeah.
He's just screaming money like they've won some raffle.
Yesterday, he was a combination of a blesser from Mamelodi and Oprah. and that's what this guy basically is.
That's what he thinks success looks like.
And that's what he reckons. So he'll hide behind the thing of, oh, but we're incentivizing people and this is a time to celebrate. But he has no understanding of what sport is. He has no understanding of what governance is. He has no understanding what money is. And this is the kind of shit that people are now throwing out there. Man of the occasion for Keelan Balula.
Greg says, I heard Wade Van Niekerk got into trouble for wearing an Adidas tracksuit in a picture. I don't blame him. Anything but that horrible tracksuit.
Isn't he sponsored by them, though?
Personally, he is, yeah. But so some sort of tender deal with Sascock for that 361 clothing label, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
They had to wear that Chinese during the games.
Olebocheng says, it sounds like a game show or Oprah Winfrey. Everyone's getting extra money, which is what you said, Ben. And then Roman says, he sounds like an unscrupulous auctioneer.
Exactly.
One of those unctuous merchants in a bazaar.
Yeah, Gareth, and you said it as well from time to time. He's a minister of what? But the thing is, sport in this country is so important. He has the opportunity to actually make a great influence in this country and do great things for a great many people. And all he is, he's just there. Mr. Social Media, I'm here for the likes. Drop
Mr.
Mike.
Christmas now.
Razzmatazz Christmas. I mean, anyway.
All right. Let's move on.
Malcolm Gladwell, right? Very clever individual. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he has a theory about the Olympics going forward. So we all know that every time the Olympics happens, it gets bigger and better and all that kind of stuff because it has to compete with everything else. What does it do? It leads third world countries into debt and ruin and eyesores and white elephants that can't ever be used again. Malcolm Gladwell is suggesting, let's make the Olympics truly global. So let's just have the swimming in this country, the athletics in that country, other things in that country.
But how would the Olympic Committee make money?
Oh, exactly, Gareth. This is the thing, taking away the bread and butter from guys like Fekile. But he makes a very good point, because then you can have the Olympics to being a truly global event. I know it's nice having it in a city, but it's not sustainable anymore. This is the thing. It's like vinyl, or it's like big gas-guzzling cars. These things aren't sustainable in the modern era. So I think we've got to look at people who are clever, like Malcolm Gladwell. Maybe that it could be the future of the Olympics.
But also, how are the swimmers supposed to bang the runners? Because, you know, the Olympic Village puts them all in the same space and they all get to have orgies together and swap partners. Now if you have the swimmers in the northern, you know, in North America and the runners in the UK, they can't.
Yeah, sorry, Malcolm Gladwell. Cuck idea, actually. Anyway, moving on to football last night with the start of the PSL. And Chiefs, again, well, I don't know. This is the mark of insanity, really. They believe they can do the same thing over and over and still believe they can get a result, but they can't. And Fitz beat them 2-1 in the opener there. So Steve Compella, sure, this guy's got a long road ahead this season. Yeah, they didn't do anything in the off-season about getting any dynamic players in. They reckon they can still do the same old, but they're going to fall way behind because there's some very, very good teams in this league and there's a lot of fresh young talent who are doing wonders. Cape Town City, they had their first match, the newly formed team who relocated from Nelspruit to Cape Town and then are called Cape Town City. Don't ask me how. Anyway, 2-0, they beat Polokwane City, who might just be the bottom dwellers of the tournament. Baraka FC, they registered their first points. Newly promoted Baraka FC, they drew 1-1 to IS Cape Town, but they squandered so many chances, especially in the second half. They should have buried IS Cape Town. And then Chippa United, they played a home match in the Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium, and they beat Free State Stars 2-1. Tonight we've got Orlando Pirates versus Golden Arrows at 7:30, Platinum Stars versus Supersport United at 7:30, Bloom Celtic versus Maritzburg United at 7:30. And the other local interest, Sundowns, who are in the CAF Champions League, so they weren't playing this week. They had their first loss in their group stages. They lost 3-1 to basically, they were played in a mud patch to Inyumba, but it doesn't make a difference. They still win their group, so hoorah.
Okay.
Today we'll see the start of England versus Pakistan in the one-day series they played after the Test match series was drawn. Test match abandoned yesterday in Durban because that field still looks like a cow pat. But this weekend we start at Centurion, and they also relayed their field. But thankfully for Centurion, they have better weather, so more dependable there. So we'll see some nice soft conditions for the players to roll around on. And hopefully no monsoon rains, and everything should be okay, fine and dandy. That's all we've got time for today, but a lot more sport coming tomorrow.
All right, Ben, thank you very much. If you'd like to hear the beginning of that Fikile Mbalula diatribe, then by all means download the podcast.
Yeah, I'll be writing a bit more about that today.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because there's a lot about this that is so fundamentally wrong that people, that the wool's been pulled over their eyes. And like I said, sport and the ability to change things in this country comes through sport, not through what he's doing.
All right, let's get into the money, because that's a big concern today, with the finance minister having to report to the Hawks at 10 o'clock. Nobody can believe this. It's outrageous.
He works hard for the money, so hard for it, honey.
Oh, here's the, before we go to Anthea, here's the tweet that I think Olebogeng just sent me now from Reedy. Rox Mashinini was relieved of his cash by Jay-Z, who promised to exchange it for local currency. And he took all of, that's the president, took all of Stanley Manong's life savings in exile in Mozambique back in 1977. You think he cares about your taxes?
No, ma'am. No way, right. No how.
Well, this is a man who's obviously desperate, so he might do desperate things, and he doesn't mind what he does to the country's economy. How's the rand doing this morning, Anthea?
Good morning, Gareth. It's 13.93 to the dollar.
Oh, God.
So really not doing well. Mm. It did touch 14 yesterday after the story of Pravin Gordhan broke. And I really want to talk about this a bit, Gareth, because Tom Moyane really is putting the country at risk. And he must know that the rating agencies are watching us so carefully and we're facing an investment rating downgrade, right? It's Tom Moyane's job to collect revenue for the government. And the irony of yesterday is that yesterday morning, SARS put out a report showing that in the first quarter of this year, there was a shortfall in the tax revenue collection of 4.5 billion rand. And Tom Moyane, in his statement, blamed a sluggish economy. And he's not wrong. Yeah. I don't think SARS are not collecting taxes that are due to them. I think there isn't enough revenue being generated. So VAT was short by 5.5% because people are not spending. Excise duties missed the target by 3.6%. And if you were Tom Moyane, and in a fairly influential position, I'd say, instead of chasing ghosts, surely you're spending every single waking moment thinking about how to kickstart the economy.
Ah, but you're assuming that he knows what his job is. You're assuming that he doesn't serve a different master. You're assuming he serves the South African public and he's there to do a job of tax revenue collection. That's not his job. His job is to be the president's inside man.
Okay. Well, that throws all my theories out the water then, because honestly, you would assume, and I hope he's listening. And if he doesn't, shall we send him a message? Like, you cannot collect income tax revenue if every third person in this country is unemployed and if foreigners are not investing in the country. And foreigners are not going to invest in the country if you keep firing or arresting finance ministers and the rating agencies downgrade you to below investment grade.
Why are you addressing this at Tom Moyane? Let's say the same thing to the president. If you're going to steal, you need to have more money to steal. There isn't any more money to steal.
Well, the only reason I'm attacking or addressing, I should say, Tom Moyane is because he's the complainant on the summons to Gordhan.
He's just doing what his boss wants him to do, Anthea. Come on.
Okay.
I know you're smarter than that, and I know that you're being you're sticking to the letter of the law on this, because it's not your place or your style to attack people personally or to read between lines that aren't there. I get it, but in this case, it's very clear. It's evident what's going on. There is an attempt at getting to the Treasury, at state capture, and the president's a desperate man who's making a final grab for the PIN code.
How much longer can this go on? It's just unbelievable.
Until 2019.
Thanks, my buddy.
That's a long time.
Yeah. So shall I just put my head down and carry on as you were then?
Basically, yes.
Oh, that's very heartbreaking.
Hmm. All right, well, what are we looking at? I mean, give me a forecast.
On what? On the rand? What do I think? What do you want me to forecast?
Yeah, let's start with the rand. Okay, if the finance minister suddenly has to account to the hawks and there is a genuine case and a danger that he might be arrested, what happens to the rand, Anthea?
Well, we're close to 14 now. I think it'll break 14 again this morning. You're looking at 16 easily. And the problem, of course, is not just that the currency blows out, but that it's inflationary, and so you're paying more for goods. We were really enjoying this stronger currency. And there's no growth, and the rating agencies downgrade us in December, and then we are really in trouble.
Yeah.
And, you know, we speak on such a granular level every single day about companies, and we're fairly critical of them. We're demanding that they make profits, because if they don't, we don't buy their shares. But on a macro level, the more profits they make, the more tax they pay, the more they grow, the more people they employ. Like, it's very simple. And Gareth, have you noticed that when a company declares a dividend, let's say, for example, they declare a 1 rand dividend, only 85 cents hits your bank account.
Yeah, the rest goes to government.
Exactly. So the government, before you even see it, takes 15% in dividend withholding tax. So it's really not a difficult concept to grasp, right? Grow the economy, grow companies, get people to the stock exchange, help them to save. Anyway, shall I just stop now?
Mm. Yeah,
okay. Well, at least the market was slightly up yesterday by about 0.25%. Diversified miners were quite high. Anglo Billiton up over 4% yesterday. So that was quite nice. A couple of companies reported. Imperial, I think we briefly spoke about it on Monday, because I was looking to buy the share when you said, what would you buy? I was thinking Imperial. So their results yesterday, a solid performance, I would say, mostly characterized by disposals of their non-core assets and acquisitions of international businesses. So this is quite a difficult one, because I think I've changed my mind about buying the share. And I think they're doing all the right things. You know, they're expanding offshore, they've got lots of businesses going on here. Mark Lamberti, who's the CEO, kind of really has got his finger on the pulse. He's really kind of getting things right. And these are not my words. I heard an analyst yesterday say that it feels like they're wheel spinning, that they're doing a lot, but they're not going forward very quickly. So I'm actually going to stay away from the share for a bit until I see something a bit more certain.
All right.
And then ShopRite also released results. The share closed down slightly yesterday. Headline earnings up 17%. And this is, again, quite an interesting story, because sales margins in South Africa are coming under pressure. So you can see the consumer, higher food prices, which they're not necessarily passing on to the consumer, which is good for them, thank goodness. Rest of Africa business is growing nicely, surprisingly. But again, ShopRite's outlook statement, just not very good. You know, they said they're proceeding with caution, not looking to expand locally. And of course, if the economy is not growing, they won't expand, because they don't think the consumer will have money to shop. But what Whitey Besson, the CEO, said was that they are looking to expand not only in Africa, but now they're also targeting Vietnam, Cambodia, and India, which I think is very interesting.
All right.
And quite exciting, you know. So we certainly have so many South African companies kind of almost taking over the world, it feels like. It's really good. I quite enjoy that. And I know Whitey Besson's being criticized. He's the guy that makes over 600 million rand a year in salary. So, you know, and hopefully a lot of that he'll pay to taxes, to our very own Tom Moyani.
There we go. And by the way, I'm just looking at some of the company performances. Obviously, the banks didn't do very well yesterday at all. Mm-hmm. All down. And I suppose that's also currency related, right?
Yes. But
among other sort of financial linked businesses, PSG not doing too badly. They're up 1.37%, right?
Yeah.
That's good news. Right.
What else are you looking at?
I'm just looking at...
I'm going to turn this on you. You know that, right? I'm going to ask you what happened to Capital & Counties
yesterday. You notice when Anthea asks you that, because she's worried at what you're looking at.
Yeah.
What are you looking at now?
I'm not looking at stuff that I have. I'm looking at stuff that's made major moves. I see... that's quite interesting. Anglo-American Platinum, you said down 4%, right?
Up 4%, wasn't it, yesterday?
It looks like it's down on mine, unless I'm reading something else.
What's going on there? Are you looking at the one-day move or the one-week move?
No, just the day.
Oh, that's a bit odd. Okay, no. I'll check.
4% down. But then I do see some things starting to make an interesting move up. I mean, I saw a little increase from Stellar Capital in their share price.
Mm-hmm.
3.5% on that one.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Capital & Counties, did you tell us what that was, up or down? I'm not going to let it go, am I?
Go on, tell us.
3.5% up.
Yeah. All Right. I should listen to you. I know.
What happened to us? Oh, my goodness. And you sold your Astorias, right? So with the Rand weakening to 14 last night. Oh, dear. That'll have a bounce today as well.
Thanks.
And I promise that is the last time I do that.
No, keep doing it. Rub it in. All right, Anthea.
All right. Have a good day.
Cool. You too. There we go. Let's hope. We'll hold thumbs for the currency today. It's going to need all the help it can get. Avi Pandey says, there is no money to steal. That sounds familiar. There's no money that Jay-Z is going to be paying back.
Yeah, that 7 million rand is never going to be returned to where it's supposed to.
I wonder if that arrangement for payments even been made.
But wasn't there a deadline? There was like a 30 days kind of thing.
I've lost count.
There's no money.
To show you that I made my own money
back.
What is all that?
He's speaking in money tongues.
I don't know. It's one of those pop-up things that comes up. How the hell did that happen?
Well, it popped up.
I've got ad blocking software on my computer.
There's no money that I'm going to be paying back.
Yeah, that's right. Unless he served that ad into the show by mistake. All right, listen, lots of stuff to get into, everybody. Let's start the day right. We've got a little bit of news. We get to tell you what's going on in the world of comedy with John Flismas later on. Yep, John Flismas, who I saw more than adeptly handle the Lurie Awards over the weekend, will be our guest this morning after 8 o'clock. And I'm always excited to see John, always excited to talk to him. He is absolutely one of South Africa's comic treasures, and he will join us in a short while. He's going to hate that I said that about him, but that's what he is.
Last time he was here, when we had Girls at Cliff Central, that was on a Friday.
Yeah.
That was one of the funniest interviews I think we've had.
No, he was amazing.
Because he just became one of the hosts. He was so funny.
It's awesome. All right, let's get cracking at 7 o'clock. CliffCentral.com.